love you some you, love you some you.
You gotta put yourself first in order to survive. You need to learn to love yourself and push the world aside. You need
Carolina, love you some you.
Welcome to Through My Lens with Clay Daly.
Singer, songwriter, multi-instrumental artist, an artist that is all about self-worth, self-care, self-love. We love us some Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Ever since I saw you first at Mass District, ever since then, I followed along and I've been a fan since then.
Oh, wow.
Before we get into the main topic of today, which is about expectations, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, my name's Carolina. As you said, I'm a singer, songwriter, producer, multi-instrumentalist, actress. So anything that really has to do with the arts, I'm kind of in it, you know? I've been studying music and vocals since I was about 11, you know, taking it seriously all throughout middle school, all throughout high school, and then finally going to college to pursue just songwriting, music production, the business side just as much as the creative side. So anything that has to do with music, I've kind of really tried to put myself into every avenue so I can learn and become as close to an expert as I possibly can in every single avenue of it. So I've just been working, grinding in the industry for quite some time now. I've been performing for like 13 years.
That's amazing.
It's been good. I've had a very serious drive since I was young. So I think that definitely helps in general, just with my work ethic and how seriously I take it, just as much as how passionate I am about the arts and creating.
What made you actually, you know, go into it when you were 11? Like what was the switch that made you say, this is what I want?
Well, growing up, I was always just very into sports. I played a lot of basketball and I was a runner. And at 11, I was in, you know, in elementary school, they have specials, right? You know, you go to PE, you go to art, you go to music. And my music teacher, she assigned me to sing a solo out of nowhere, super random. She just said, hey, Carolina, you're going to take this solo for the song for the chorus show. And I was like, okay. I was excited about it, but I was also like, what the heck do I do? So because she believed in me and she saw me, you know, I think that really just kind of pushed me. And as soon as I realized, oh my gosh, I can, you know, I can carry a tune and I love music. I love it. Like, I was listening to a lot of R&B at the time, you know, that early 2000s R&B. That was everything I grew up on. So I just remember singing along to that and being like, you know what? I can do this. And as a kid, like, I would watch the VH1 Top 20 Countdown every Sunday morning. I would write down the order of it, like who was in first place. Like, I was just really into it. So it just took her kind of pushing me to lead me into this whole other world where I was like, wow, I love this and I'm going to do this forever without a doubt.
That's amazing. So the teacher had a feeling for that you were into this, or did she see something that maybe you didn't see?
I think that's definitely a possibility. I think that's the case in a majority of my life, is somebody seeing something that I just don't necessarily see about myself, which is really interesting. So I guess she did see that, you know, because she would play. The first song I remember her playing and I was like, wow, was Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder. And I was just like, you know, this stuff brings so much joy, this music. And I just remember just being right about a lot of the questions that she would ask. Like, I was one of the only people, I think, to really pay attention and care in that class. So I think maybe that's what guided her to, you know, assign me the solo. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was interesting.
And then how does the fact, okay, so me, I have a guitar that I bought years ago because I want to learn some sort of instrument.
Okay.
I've never really learned, but you play multiple instruments. When did that start?
Oh, man. So piano started in third grade, but I absolutely hated it. I didn't want to sit there and read the music. I didn't want to, you know, but I stuck with it mm-hmm. until I was like, you know, so when I started taking singing more seriously and taking vocal lessons and performing live through different academies that would kind of book shows locally, I want to say it had to have been maybe eighth or ninth grade where I saw someone play chords on a keyboard and I was like, I want to learn how to do that. Mm. I always had a keyboard. I always had an inclination to make up my own notes and play chords and just kind of make things up, but I didn't really know anything about it. So once I started to be able to put a name to what these things were called and watch people do these things, I immediately took it upon myself to go look up online, research, do as much as I possibly could to learn about the instrument mm-hmm. until I then actually entered classes. More so in high school, I was in like chorus, choir, so that helped a lot with my sight reading. Mm-hmm. But it really wasn't until, you know, I pretty much was self-taught with the piano and guitar and drums. Like everything kind of just happened one right after the other. I was at this performing arts studio doing a lot of musical theater because mm-hmm. that's where my training is at vocally and acting wise. So at that studio, I was just surrounded by guitar, drums, piano, ukulele, everything. And I just wanted to get my hands on every instrument that I could get my hands on. And I would just learn from watching people, from looking things up online and just experimenting myself until things sounded good. Mm-hmm. And from there, I just went like from 0 to 100, honestly. And so I was majority self-taught, but in college, I then took legitimate music lessons to the point where I was just polishing what I already knew mm-hmm. and putting a name to it, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, definitely. So if when you actually were doing these courses in college, was there a big sort of gulf between what you did know and what you were learning? Or was it really just all polish, basically, on what you already knew?
It was a little bit of both. It was like a light had turned on mm-hmm. in my head. I was like, wow, that's what that's called? I was like, I've been playing this for so long. So it was really just about properly doing it with the right technique and the right music theory behind it.
Yeah.
So once I became familiar with those things, you know, because I play a lot by ear as well. So as much as I would research and train and all these things, I really trusted my ear. My musical ear was developing throughout all of these years in terms of creating harmonies and being able to listen to a song and then play it on an instrument without having looked up the music. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I really believe that taking all of that throughout all of those years and then having a professor in college tell me about the circle of fifths and how to play all of my major scales. And, you know, it's just, it really just turned on the switch in my brain and it put a name to everything I practically already knew how to do, mm-hmm. but it was just putting the logic behind it. Like, okay, that's what that's called. And this is how this can connect with this other thing over here, which even opened the door for so many more possibilities. So it was really exciting, but it was also frustrating because like I knew how to do this stuff already, but now there's like a proper way to do it. So yeah. Now I had to kind of break certain habits and really train myself again in a sense. So it was interesting, but I definitely appreciated it. Mm-hmm.
Did your ego ever want to step in and say, I already know how to do this?
Why
do I do it again?
I think, you know, I really try not to let my ego get in the way ever because especially in this industry, it's a very personal art.
Yeah.
So I didn't really ever get offended when someone was like, no, this is how you do it. I was just like mad at myself because I was like, man. So now I just had to rewire certain things in my brain to be able to cooperate. But I would say, yeah, I mean, maybe at times there were certain parts of me that were like, okay, that's the way to do it, but I might stick with the way that I've been doing it. So it was kind of a combination of things. Yeah. It wasn't too bad though. I was very open to learning and receiving. And like I said, I was just so passionate and excited about it that I was ready for whatever somebody had to teach me.
Mm-hmm. Now, the whole music industry, from someone looking out inward, feels like it's full of people who are not approachable, who are full of ego. But you're the opposite. Like, I mean, like I've seen you perform before, right? And I've also, you know, been on live streams when you're on Instagram Live, and mm-hmm. you're always so approachable. You know, what is it Is it your upbringing, your family life? What is it about that? Or is it something, the ego, is it something you have to practice at getting rid of? Or is it just not part of your method?
I think, again, it's a combination, because it's difficult, because in this industry, like you said, there's so many things that you have to watch your back on. Mm-hmm. You don't know who to trust. You want to be accepted for your creation. And that is such a touchy thing. In terms of being humble, I do believe my upbringing is a big part of that. I just think that as I was growing up, I don't know, I watched my parents. I saw how they handled things. I listened to conversations. I was very observant. I took everything in as much as I could. But it also comes with experience just as much as it comes with learning and watching and listening. So as I would experience and grow up and grow into the person that I have become through my music and finding my identity through that art, mm-hmm. has really always taught me that I'm always learning. I'm never going to get to the point where I'm like, I already know everything or everybody loves me. I'm always trying to look at it in a way where, how can I connect with people in the most authentic way possible? How can I please people? That's a big one, because it's like, you're never going to really be able to please everyone and be everybody's favorite.
Right.
But yeah, I just think that ego is something that's just going to weigh you down. Mm. And you're going to get into a lot of internal battles with that, if you let your ego win over the spirit, in my opinion. I mean, I let the spiritual aspect of it really take the lead on this whole situation, on everything that I do. Mm-hmm. I just trust God. I really try to surrender myself mm-hmm. to something that I don't have control over. As much as I want to control my career and control where it goes and control this, control how this person views me. And I realize that when you let go of those things and you do your best and you treat people well and you build good relationships, there's no reason for ego to get in the way, no matter how good you think you are, no matter how good you actually might be. Mm-hmm. Why would I let that take over me when I can just be receptive and be humble and understand that there's always room for growth? And how can I impact people through that, through the way that I carry myself? It's not just about the music, you know? It goes a lot deeper than that, I think.
I'm with you, yeah. That's a good way of looking at it. And speaking of things you can't control with this whole pandemic, what do you expect the industry is going to do going forward? You know, the music industry, creatives in the music industry, people like you. What do you expect to happen?
I think that everybody's lens is going to have to shift over to what the new sense of normalcy is. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing a lot of posts about potentially having like drive-in concerts.
Wow.
Where everybody, kind of like a drive-in movie, yeah. But instead it's a concert. I've seen things like that. I also know that streaming, whether it's video live streaming or streaming on like Spotify, Apple Music, mm-hmm. YouTube, things like that, or social media in general, I've seen that Facebook is now, or can now have the potential to charge people to watch a live performance. So I think that the music industry is going to navigate through as many avenues as possible to still be able to monetize off of their artists. Mm-hmm. The record labels, you know, need to find ways, whether it's through merchandise or through special discounts, special deals, exclusive offers. People are going to have to start getting creative and thinking outside of the box. Mm-hmm. Because this is not something that anybody saw coming.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's, right, no. And now more than ever, the entertainment industry should be here to strictly entertain, bring joy to people,
yeah.
Allow people to feel things through your creation. So I think it's really putting things into perspective for a lot of creatives, but it's also really putting us to the test to see, can we really handle this? Not just on the front lines, but behind the scenes too. Mm-hmm. Is it, how deeply is it going to affect the creative process? Where, you know, people in the music industry are, you know, at least myself and a few others I know included, we're always on the go. We're always moving. We're always thinking ahead of the game. How can I get to this point? What do I have to do to stand out, to be unique? So I think that with all of this stuff going on with the pandemic, in a sense, we have to go with the flow. We have to see what decisions are being made, but we also can't be afraid to start something new and really roll with it and just run with it. And at this point, it's trial and error.
Yeah.
You know, I think as an independent artist, it's different than having a record label behind you kind of telling you, okay, this is what we're doing, guys. Instead, it's like, you know, okay, well, this person's doing that. Maybe I can give that a try. Mm-hmm. Or hey, maybe I can come up with this idea. There's a lot of collaborating going on. There's a lot of webinars going on. There's a lot of information being given online and connections being made online that was not accessible before. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely something that I've appreciated during this time, being able to do my research, to do the groundwork. Who can I connect with? Who can I build a relationship with? Mm-hmm. What, you know, what Zoom meeting can I join? What, you know, it's because it all surrounds everything that I've ever needed to be answered from the music industry that I felt was not easily accessible. Mm-hmm. Now there's representatives from major companies going live or, you know, answering questions or giving out their contact information that I'm like, wow, this is, you know, I don't know how long this is going to last, but I'm going to absorb every last bit of this and compile a list of contacts and do as much as I possibly can to build myself up and then follow up with these people once I have my next body of work completed. Like that to me, I think is what every independent artist should be doing right now, you know, is yes, creating, but doing your research and making those connections while they're here in front of you. Because when things quote unquote get back to normal, if that will ever, you know, who knows what that's going to be like. But when they do, it's, you know, you wanted to have thought to yourself, hey man, I made some really good use of my time.
Yeah. That's good. That's good points. What do you think the, you know, the fans, you know, let's say if things sort of go back to normal, but you as an artist, you know, you want, let's say the, you know, the whole online avenue, you want to keep doing that, but fans want people to be up front, you know, in front of them. Are you going to feel pressured to do that, even though you're not comfortable doing that?
You mean?
So like, you know, a performance like, you know, regular old school, you know, something like a Coachella, something, you know, massive amount of people. You know, because right now you see people, there's a sort of splitting of what people expect, right? There's certain group of people who want things to go back to normal, like ASAP, and they protest that. And then you have people who are like, well, let's take our time. But what if the people who are protesting that we need to open up win? And, you know, there are going to be certain artists who don't want to be in, they don't want to be put in situations like that. But if you're not accepting that situation, you might actually lose out financially or creatively because you're not putting yourself out there. Well, creatively, not so much. I should say mostly financially, I would say.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying now. I think it's really going to depend on, you know, it's kind of like trusting your intuition in a sense where it's like, you know, does this feel right? Does this feel like the right time to get back out there and do something that once felt so normal? Now it's like, you know, I hear people saying, you know, I forgot what it's like to wear normal clothes. I forgot what it's like to interact with people. And it is tough. I mean, there's been ups and downs during this quarantine of like, you know, there's been doubt. There's been depression. I'm sure there's been pressure. It's just there's a lot of emotions going on. So I feel like with this time allowing me personally, and I'm sure many other people, to be in tune with themselves, I think that will give enough of the answer to where it's like, you know, if somebody were to ask me to do a show in a time where it doesn't feel safe quite yet, you know, regardless of what the rules and regulations are saying, you know, oh, everybody, you know, you're good to go. I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are going to be really hesitant and really cautious. But at the same time, you know, at what point are we going to let fear drive us?
Exactly.
And at what point are we going to take that chance and say, you know what? Okay, yeah, let's give it a try. I'm going to be safe about this. I'm going to be cautious about this. But I think, you know, so I think there might be many indications in that sense where it'll feel like, okay, you know what? I think this is acceptable because you don't want to be disrespectful either, you know, to people. And, you know, you want to make sure that you know, you're watching out for yourself, but you're thinking of other people as well. So the safety of them as well. So, you know, I don't know. I feel like that'll be easier to gauge once it kind of happens. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does.
Yeah.
You'll basically cross that bridge when you get there and evaluate which way you'll, you know, which way in the, you know, fork of which end you'll go, if you'll say yes or no, depending on your own gut feeling.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you're looking at photography, right now, we are going to have to think about how we're going to do this work as well. You know, like instead of having wider angle lenses, we're going to have to use longer lenses to do the work so that we're not too close to the models or the, you know, subjects. And I think all of us have to figure out what it is we will be doing going forward creatively. And hopefully we all evolve, you know, took the time to evolve.
I definitely can see how that would be not maybe a little bit difficult on your side, but just like you said, having to adapt, having to evolve. I mean, that's what we're supposed to technically do as humans. We just, again, can't let fear drive us. We have to make things work when this is our livelihood. You know, we have to do what we can and use the resources that we have in the present moment. Mm-hmm.
What so your genre of music is a sort of a mix, right? It's which
I would say so.
Yeah. With what is what is the genre that pulls you the hardest? Like, which one is really, you know, something like your blood?
Man, I really do think, like you said, it's a fusion. It's a combination because I have so many influences and my palette has improved and expanded so much over the years, especially doing music professionally. So I've been classifying my music as alternative pop, which to me, you know, yes, I'm a singer-songwriter, but that's really not limited to any sort of specific genre. I think what I lean more towards is definitely R&B. Just because of the soul that's in it, as well as the flows. So when I write, I tend to have a lot of rhythmic inclinations. And I think that also comes from my Latin background, where I just have like this reggaeton or like reggae kind of feeling. Every time I'm creating, I'm always thinking rhythmically. What can we do? What can we do with the drums? Or what can I do with the melody that's going to make the song flow and really vibe nicely? So I would say that sticks out to me a lot. The reason I throw pop in there is really just because of the structure of my songs. Not necessarily that it's cookie cutter, you know, the bubblegum pop music, but more so that I do like to focus on making my songs as catchy as possible and as structured as possible. So, you know, the typical verse, pre-chorus, chorus, bridge, you know, those kinds of components in a song, understanding how a song is processed and manufactured, but not taking the heart out of it at the same time. So definitely R&B soul mixed with a pop fusion, but it does have underlying tones of, like I said, that rhythmic reggae, reggaeton, reggae, Latin, and even a little bit of jazz. I'm influenced more so after moving back from New Orleans. It's hard for me to not incorporate some sort of jazzy overtone or some sort of chord that's gonna kind of take people back a little bit, you know. So I like to incorporate a lot of different influences, but yeah, I would say it's a fusion right now of things. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I was a real pleasure having you on the show. You know, I've been a fan for since I saw you at Mass District.
Thank you.
Any, you know, for up and coming creatives, people who are trying to figure out how to do this creatively, you know, with day jobs and with, you know, other life responsibilities. What sort of advice could you give someone who is trying to have a creative life along with just a regular day-to-day life? You have any sort of insight or advice for people?
Sure. I would definitely say to find your why. Identify why you are doing this. Don't do it for the wrong reasons. Don't do it for money. Don't do it for fame, you know, or to follow some sort of fad that's going on. I would absolutely say to not, again, not let your ego get in the way, of course, but more so identify your purpose in this. Mm-hmm. Why am I creating? What, you know, what is it about taking photos? What is it about writing a song? What is it about, you know, a dance routine, any sort of art? It is absolutely possible to turn your passion into a career. It's all about your drive and it's all about your intention. If you have good intentions and you have a great work ethic and you have thick skin, because any sort of industry, any sort of industry in the arts, you're laying your soul out there for people to consume. And some people might consume it more passively than actively, meaning, you know, if you start to judge how good you are based off of how many likes a post gets, mm-hmm. or how many people are commenting or viewing on your material, it can be very discouraging. So you have to, again, identify, why are you doing this? And allow yourself room to grow and to feel. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not allowing room for that, you're going to get caught up in your head. You're going to overthink and you're going to forget why you're even doing it in the first place, you know? Mm-hmm. So I definitely think being a creative full time is extremely challenging, but it's extremely rewarding at the same time. So you just have to be realistic with yourself. Can I do this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's your first question. And then it's, how far can I take this, right? Mm-hmm. And be real with yourself, whether it has to do with your talent or your work ethic, or, you know, you just, again, you can't give up easily when you're doing anything associated with the arts. You cannot be swayed by the opinions of others. You just have to make your best work and have good intentions. And from there, you just have to trust the process. Understand things will happen when they're supposed to. You have to have faith. Because if you don't have faith, you don't have motivation. You don't have good works, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I would definitely leave those with that are in any sort of doubtful thoughts or anything like that. I would definitely, you know, just remember your why.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? I'm pretty sure someone wanted and needed to hear that. And I'm one of those. I'm raising my hand here.
Oh, man. That's good. I'm glad.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Okay. You want to tell everyone about any current projects, upcoming projects, anywhere they can find you online?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you guys can find me anywhere on social media at Carolina Music. So it's spelled Carolena Music. So it's kind of like Carolina. I don't spell it with an I like Carolina. So you can find me at Carolina Music on all social media, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, everything like that. And on Spotify and Apple Music, any streaming device, it's just my first name, Carolina. So you can find all my music there. I will be releasing quite a few collaborations and my own projects very soon. I just released my first single in Spanish, which was really cool. So that one is called Dame Tu Mano.
Oh, yes,
and it was
yes,
a collab.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So that, yeah, it was very different than the vibe that I normally put out, mm-hmm. but it was a collaboration with another artist from Miami. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had a great time doing that. So it was a cool market to tap into. So, but yeah, anywhere on social media. And I also have, you know, carolinamusic.com. So you can find me anywhere online, really. And, I'd be happy to connect.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Of course, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
Sure. And hopefully soon after this corona passes, we could have a photo shoot.
Absolutely. I would love that. That'd be great.
Cool. All righty. Thank you so much.
Thank you again. Have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
All right.
All right, cool.
Ciao. Bye.
That was Carolina. It was awesome having her on. Thank you so much for coming on. You guys go check her out at all of the sites she listed. So yes, Carolina Music. Check her out on all the sites, the social media sites. It was an absolute blast having her on. She's like one of the most humble people I've met online, you know, who is creatively awesome. I mean, she's amazing at what she does, and yet she still is able to talk to people like they're just people, like they matter. And I really appreciate her time. So yeah, please go check her out. Check out Through My Lens at Through My Lens everywhere with Clay Daily. Actually on Twitter, it's at with the Clay Daily on Twitter. And the website, just go to cwdaily.com slash podcast, and you could find it there as well. Or just look in any of your podcasts for Through My Lens with Clay Daly. You can, of course, find my personal social media at CW Daly, CWDALY, everywhere. You could, of course, support the show by going to cwdaily.com/support, and there you have the option to make a 99 cent per month donation, $4.99 per month donation, or $9.99 per month. And of course, that is easily cancelable at any time. It's not you're not locked in. There's also a link there to do purchases of some of the images that I have at cwdaily.darkroom.tech. So please check all of that out. And I truly appreciate you listening. And again, thank you for Carolina for coming on and chatting with me and giving some amazing, amazing advice. I really needed to hear the advice she gave at the end there. I well worth the price of admission. So much gratefulness for that bit of advice. Thank you again. Ciao. I don't know if you have stage fright, but I do.
Put yourself first in order to survive. You need to learn to love yourself and push the world aside. You need to feel yourself before you feel someone else. If not, then you're just gonna be lost in the realm of self-hating, self-pity, feeling lost in your own eyes. Looking for a mirror and asking yourself why I'm trying to heal and get back to a point of feeling good about myself and what I got to give. Maybe I should focus more on me and making sure that I'm alive. This new journey's gotta start with one stride. I can't hide who I am and try to please another. I wanna look at myself the way I'm looked at by my mother, and I wanna love again, but right now I'm waiting, praying, 'cause I know